Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Bechari Islam Adalet, we begin four lines from the top of the Amid. Hossam, it says Hocha, but they change it to Hossam Bekrei Pligi. There, meaning in that case of the barrel filled with Truma material, which perhaps became tummy. There was a suffix, an uncertainty whether it became tummy, in which case you can't eat it. And the question now is, typically you have to protect your truma. Mishmeret trumoisa, the pasuk says, you have to protect it from becoming tummy. But what about in this case? Rabbi Eliezer says, even in this case, conceal it, cover it, keep it protected, despite the fact that really it's inedible. Rabbi Yeshua says, no way. Truma tahira, yeah, you got to guard it, protect it from becoming tummy, but not in this case, we're in any case. You can't eat it. So may as well let it become tummy, then you can use it for zilo, for sprinkling down the dust, etc. And this machlekes is rooted in the way they interpreted the pasuk. Hasam bekroi pligi. Machlekes is based on the pasuk. Damar bidamar shmoel, v'chinam rosh lakish, v'chinam nachmar bua. The pasuk says, v'anin hinei nasate l'cha. Hashem says, I gave you, Aaron HaKohen and the Kohanim, es mishmeret moroisai. They're meant to guard their truma. Now, it's read, trumoisai, plural. Several variations of truma. But it's spelled without the second vav. So it could be, in terms of its spelling, it appears like it's singular, trumosi, instead of trumoisai. The question is, what do we dwell on? Do we dwell on the pronunciation, in which case it's referring to two different types, or the way it's spelled, in which case it's referring to a single version of truma only? Rabbi Elazar Savar, plural, b'shtei trumoi sakosu medaber, because according to him, we focus on the mikra, the pronunciation, referring to two types, achas truma tahira, achas truma taluya, whether it's tahir, it has to be guarded, even taluya. It's in limbo, still guarded, to ensure, Vamar Rachman, Torah is instructing us, Avid Loshima, guard it, so that it doesn't become really tummy. Rabbi Shor, Trumasi, Ksiv. Rabbi Shor responds, we focus on the spelling, Trumasi, meaning only real Tahir, Truma, which is edible, has to be guarded, otherwise there's no need to. Says the Gemara, okay, so Lamebra, do you mean to say that Rabbi Elazar Savar Yesh Aim LaMikra? He holds Aim, the mother, the primary focal point is on the Mikra and the way it's pronounced, the way it's read. We have a contradiction from a different halacha where it seems otherwise. Ramini, we have Akasha, the Braisa, focuses on the Pasuk Bevigdei Bo. A father is allowed to sell his young daughter as a maidservant, but once he does it once, he can't do it again. Bevigdei Bo. So he sells it to this Jewish master who's meant to do Yi'ud, marry her. And once that happens and it fails, he divorces or whatever, lets her go. Bevigdei Bo. Now the father cannot repeat the process again. And we learn it as though it's read, the way it's read, Bevigdei Bo. Beged, garment. A reference to the owner marrying her, spreading his garment over her. Kivin Shapira is Talisi Olam, when she placed his garment over, meaning he took her in as his wife. The master, Shuv Einei Rashi Lamoichra. So after he releases her, the father can't do it again, can't resell her again. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva's approach to the Pasuk. Once she had been married, he can't resell her. That's based on the pronunciation, Bevigdei. Rabbi Elazar Omer, no, he says, actually, we dwell on the spelling, the way it's spelled. And it doesn't have the extra yud, bevigdei, you know, as though there's a yud between the vase and the gimel, so it can be read bevagdei ba. After the father betrayed her, so to speak, he's, by selling her, he can't do it again. So you can't sell her after selling her. But once he betrayed her, he can't sell her again. So basically, Rabbi Elazar is focusing on the spelling, as opposed to the pronunciation, which he seems to be focusing on in our discussion, Trumoisai. He writes, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's about the spelling. So back to our story with the barrel. What's the machlekes about? Ella hocha baka miflagi. Rather, over here it's based on logic, on svara. Rabbi Shua, who says, let the barrel go, don't have to guard it. Savar, he holds haruyelach shemur. When the Torah says guard, it's something which is suitable for your consumption, something which is tahar. Guard it, make sure it stays that way. But v'she'ena ruyelachav, it's not suitable anyways, because it may have become tamei, loy tishma, there's no need to watch it. Rabbi Lezer, he responds, no, hanami ruyuhi. Even if there's a suffix of tumah, it's still technically usable. Why? Guess who's coming? Elyonavi is coming soon. Shema Yavel Yo Vitarena. He'll come and he'll deem it to be tahar. He'll confirm that it was never really tamei. So you have no right to disregard it and be negligent on it. So it's based on svaras. Okay, now back to the Mishnah. We had a bachar in a precarious state of health. He needed some quick bloodletting. According to Rabbi Shimon, no issue. You can prick him even if it generates a mum, because it's unintended. You're trying to save the animal. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, that's the halacha. Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Maska flor of Nachmar Yitzchak. Had a question on this psak. Hi Rabbi Shimon, who's Rabbi Shimon? Even Rabbi Shimon de Masnissen is going back on the Mishnah. You see, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says you can prick him even if it causes a mum, because it's unintended. In the Braisa, he adds that actually, furthermore, you can take that bukhar now shechted. The fact that it has a mum, irrespective of the origin of the mum, who caused the mum. So it's a 1-2-step process here. According to Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, you can do the mum. According to Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa, you can actually proceed and shecht it based on this mum. So which Rabbi Shimon did he paskin like? Elon Rabbi Shimon de Masnissen, who allows us to make the mum, because it's davar she'enim eskam, it's an unintended consequence. That's old news. Hanashta leishminan Shmuel. Did Shmuel never tell us up until today that in fact davar she'en meskaven is mutter, that a person can engage in an act which may generate unintended consequences which are problematic? He can do that. That's not his objective. It's old news. V'rabchia b'rashim, Rabbi quotes Rav halach k'rabiyuda that davar she'en meskaven is asur, but Rav Chan b'rashim or Shmuel says it's okay. Al k'rab Shimon, pasnan k'rab Shimon says it's okay. So why the repetition today? Rav Chia bar Avin, he had a different version. Masl Gavri, he had it without the intermediaries, the names in the middle. Rather, it was Rav directly saying, Amar Rachar Yudah, follower of Yudah, the Davashay Miskavin is also, Shmuel Amar, he directly rules that Al-Kab Shimon, that it's Mutter. So again, why do we have to repeat again the same thing? El Rav Shimon Debrais. The answer is, he's coming to add an element here. In accordance with Rav Shimon Debrais, meaning, not only can you prick the animal and cause a mum if that's not your objective, but now that it has a mum, we disregard the reason and the cause. The fact is, it's a bechor with a mum shechted, as per Rav Shimon and the Brais. Rav Shisha ben Ravidi Maslam Mehedya, point to him, it's an open, clear version that Amar Ravidi Mashmuel, no guesswork needed, halach Rav Shimon, and he adds the word the Brais, that you can actually eat it, says the Mishnah. So if a fellow goes ahead and inflicts a mum on his bechor, which he shouldn't have. It's issa d'oraisa. Hatzorim oizen bechor. He nicks the ear of the bechor, which makes it a mum. Hareza loishchot olamis. You can never shecht this bechor. Done. He's penalized forever. Tiv Rav Elazar. Because you made a mum, we penalize you. V'chacham oimrim. Look, you can't utilize this mum, but noilat by mum achar, as soon as another mum arrives, you know, naturally, then yishchet olav. You can shech based on the new mum. Okay, so the kain who has the bechor, who, as we're going to see in the Gemara later, many were suspected of manipulating the mum on their bechor, you know, to relieve themselves of the of the burden of having to care for this animal forever and ever until it gets a mum. I mean, talking about nowadays, there's no other alternative. You can't bring it to the Mikdash. So we have to be very careful. We try to discourage it at all costs. Don't play games. And if you do, you're in trouble. According to Rabbi Lezer, you can't shecht it forever. Ask the Gemara, is it true that Rabbi Lezer bans it from being used forever? That's a very severe penalty. But Ramini, we have a kash from a brisa, which discusses a similar phenomenon where a person was accused of foul play and he was penalized, but not to this extent. Ramini, Misha Hoysel of Oilei Baharis. A fellow was experiencing a nega, and there's a halacha in Allah to tinker with the nega. You can't cut it off. It's a pasuk, shomer, right? Benega tzaras. And he did so. He turned on the base. The next, now it happened naturally. It just, you know, disappears. Got cut off. Okay, tar. Good luck for him. But katsitsa, bim, skaven, if he removed it intentionally, he committed an isser in doing so, or a blazer, aimer. Blazer says, look, it's not going to help you much. You have to wait for a new nega to show up. Likashi yivolle nega acha, when he generates a new nega, yitayri meno, then he'll become tummy from the first one. Okay, we'll see later exactly how this works. So he penalize you, you can't bank on this transgression. You have to wait for a new one to come, and that will take care of it. No way. We penalize you forever. Until you get a new one, and it spreads throughout the entire body, which is a simon of tahara, Rashi brings, right? It says, the whole person, head to toe, then you know inevitably the first one would have been covered, it would have made everything tar. Or, alternatively, if the nega, before you clipped it off, shrunk smaller than the size of a gris of a bean, then you know it's okay. So basically, according to Rabbanon, we apply a very severe permanent knas. There's no way to get out of it. You think you clipped it off and got rid of it? No way, you're stuck forever, unless something drastic happens. Entire body becomes white, so then you know it covers everything, your tahar. Or if it happens to be that the one that you clipped off had shrunk to smaller than a gris, okay, but according to Rabbanon, it's a limited penalty. You have to wait for a new one to show up, and that will address. So we have a double contradiction. Here, Rabbi Lezer says limited, whereas in our Mishnah, he says permanent. Ban on your Bukhar because you played with the you made a mum. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, they both explained. Amar Tabai. Let us resolve Rabbi Lezer first. Ki kanish Rabbi Lezer b'moinai. Rabbi Lezer penalizes very severely when it pertains to a person's property. Rashi explains, look, the fellow's figuring, I have nothing to lose. He has a bechor, unblemished. I'm stuck with it until it gets a mum. Let me play games. Let me try my luck. I'll nick the ear, hoping Chachamim will buy it, and I'll get off the hook quick. At worst case, they won't buy it. I'll have to wait for the proper mum to show up, which I would have had to wait anyways. I'm not losing anything. I only have what to gain. So there, we come down hard and we say, you know what? You played with it, it's us or forever. To discourage this type of foul play. But begufoy, lekonis. But in the nega, where it pertains to a person's body, there's no reason. A person would not be tempted to do this because there he has much to lose. Look, he has a nega today. He better behave, because if he plays with it and they catch him on it and they require him to wait for a new, who says a new nega will ever show up? He'll be stuck forever. So he's not going to play games. And more explains. Mamayne, regarding his behema, ikal memar, there's room to suspect the asi lam'ebet. He might risk doing the mum, because he has nothing to lose. In any case, he would have to wait for the mum to happen. So, but gufay, regarding his own body, he has a lot to lose. He's going to get stuck with in a state of tumah forever. Why would he attempt it? So that resolves Rabbi Lezer's disparity. Here, you come down harder, but by the goof, there's no need. Amar Rava. Okay, you resolved one half of the equation. To Rabbi Lezer, kashi. So you had a problem with the two Rabbi Lezers, and you resolved it. To Rabbanon, Rabbi Lezer, kashi. You didn't have to resolve Rabbanon's contradiction. What about that contradiction? Elo, you're right. To Rabbi Lezer, kashi. Rabbi Lezer can be resolved, kashanin, as we explained. Regarding the apparent contradiction between the two Rabbanans, Rabbanan and Rabbanan, they also can be resolved as follows. The Chacham were consistent in the way they applied their penalties. They undid what you did. They addressed your foul play. Chacham, b'may de'avad kansua, here, they penalized him directly on what he did. They reversed what he did. And Chacham, b'may de'avad kansua, likewise, in the other situation, they did the same. They deleted, they reversed what you did. So back to Bachar. They penalized him with respect to what he did. How is he trying to permit the Bechor by Mumah, by making this Mum. Okay, so they deleted it. They reversed it, as though it never happened. By Mumah, Kansu Rabban. Rabban reversed it, they applied a knas to this Mum. The Bahai Mumah, Lilishra, you can't use this Mum as a green light. Likewise, when it comes to the Nega, they undid what you did. They penalize him with respect to what he did. It's a direct response to his prohibited act. He tried to tire himself through removing the nega, through chopping off the beheras. Okay. They penalized him on that ketzitza, on that transgressive act. Very consistent in the way they apply their penalty. You try to make a mum on your bechor, it's as though it never happened. Okay, so you have to wait for a new mum to show up. You removed your nega to make yourself tahor. You're already tamei. You try to remove the nega, you stay tamei until further notice. Okay, so we had a seeming contradiction, a double contradiction by bechor, where the owner inflicted a nega. Rav Leza says, Asr forever, because he has nothing to lose. We have to discourage him in a very severe way. Whereas by the Nega, you wouldn't be so tempted. So there, it's enough to partially penalize him. Rabbanan take a different approach. Very direct. We're responding to your transgressive act. You made a mum, we remove the mum, so to speak. So that'll never happen, you have to wait for a new mum. But you were tummy with a Nega, you tried to make yourself tummy, you stay tummy. By Rav Pap. Now, according to Rav Leza, a fellow chopped off the nega, he must wait until a new one arrives. The lashon we had was on the second to the top line over there, yitar. What does that mean? As soon as the new one arrives, automatically he's relieved of the first one. Varsham explained, he already has an einish now, he's getting a new nega. So automatically, that's it. He's free of the first. Now, let's realize, in the Torah, of course, he's free. I mean, he has no nega. It's the whole thing is only the Rabbanon. They apply the knas and the tomb of the Rabbanon. What are the parameters? Until when? What's the timing? As soon as he gets a new one, automatically he's free of the old one? Or do we read it v'yeter mimenu? When the new one arrives and he processes it till the end, it goes through the whole process, becomes tahor from the second one, we assume Hashem had in mind the first one too, he becomes tahor. Which way? By Rav Papa, Yitar Tanan, so as soon as he gets the additional new Nega, because it becomes automatically Torah from the first one, without waiting to go through, you know, the whole process of the Tahara on the second, it's not needed. Or Yitar Tanan, or as soon as the new one arrives and Yitar, and he goes through the whole procedure and becomes Torah, then we apply to the first one as well. What's the difference? Whether it's this or that, either way, he can't go home yet. He's still tummy. Let's say the moment the new one arrives, he's relieved of the old one. Okay, but he's still tummy on account of the new one. The difference is like this. Let's say there's a wait period. He's holding at a moment in life where we give him a grace period. Despite the presence of a new nega, we give him time to show it to the kayin. So in that interim period where a new one showed up but he hadn't yet become affected by the new one, if we say that that automatically relieves him of the old one, then he has time to play with. At this moment right now, in the interim, he's tar. Shenira by nega, he discovered a nega. This nan, we have a halacha and a mishnah. Chasen shenira by nega. If a nega surfaced on a chasen during his, you know, sheva brachas, we give him a break. Nice and loy. Zayin yam, we give him a 7-day grace period. Loy, whether the nega appeared on his body, or his talis, his cloak, or klususay on his, you know, regular brigadim. Chayim beregel, likewise, any person. During the Shalish Regalim, if it arrived during the Regal, Noisin Loi, calling me a Regal, yes, until the end of Yom Tov. Despite the presence of the Nega, it doesn't affect it. Okay, so back to our question. This fellow had a Nega, he clipped it off. the Rabbanan is Tamei until the new one arrives. If, as soon as the new arrival shows up, that relieves him of the old status, listen now, he's relieved of the old one, he's Tor, although we're still going to wait 7 days till the end of Shavuot Brachos to attend to the new one and to be Metamim. So in the meantime, he has some time. Early Amos Vita Tznan, but according to the second approach, that he's only relieved of the first if he processes the second one and becomes Tor. Well, in this case, he hasn't done that yet. So he's still stuck with the old Tumah. So if some ultimately, if you're not going to deem the new one Tame, but you can't yet because you're in the wait period, he's still Tame from the first one. Mai, so which way do we go? Take it, we leave it unresolved. Here comes a new Shaila. This penalty for inflicting a Mumah on a Bachar, is it limited to the person who did it, or does it carry over to his sons? As well, if he passes away, what happens? Is it a personal penalty, or is it item-based? Do we follow with the penalty on the son as well? Now, we have a similar discussion regarding other matters in Gemara, and we're going to sort of reflect this on those. Even if you propose, in a similar situation where we penalize a fellow for selling his Eved, he has Eved Kanani, a Goyish Eved that he has in his possession, who is obligated to do mitzvahs like a woman, so he has these privileges, the opportunities to do mitzvahs, and he sells them to a Goy, not sells them to a Goy, because his new environment won't allow for mitzvahs. You're not allowed to, and if you do, you have to make all effort to bail him out, even at great expense. And the question there is as well, this penalty, does it apply only to the seller? Let's say the seller passed away. Are his sons meant to conform to that as well, using their father's estate or not? How far does the penalty carry over? Moicher Avdalib Kichomimesi sold his Eved to a Goy and he died. Konsu b'nai Yachrov. So even if we'll say that the Knas in that case does carry over to the kids. Yeah, because that's a very severe, drastic situation. Every day that the Eved is stuck there in a new environment, Machle Mitzvah is depriving him of the Mitzvah. So of course we come down hard and we require even the son to bail him out. On the other hand, you can say, even if you say regarding Chol HaMoed, so although a person is allowed to do Malacha, to salvage his property, matters of potential loss, or of it, but you're not meant to plan accordingly, not meant to schedule to have that malacha fall out on Chol HaMoed. And if a person does, imtim tzalem yikivim malachto moed, he was machav and he scheduled his malacha for moed, so Chacham penalized him and disallowed him from doing it, but let's say he died before Yom Tov, umeis. Are the kids, guilty? Are they responsible? Do they have to back off, or we don't penalize the kids? What do they do? So even if you say that's true in that case, so these are all questions discussed in other areas in the Gemara. And even if we'll assume a lenient approach to that case, yeah, that's different because Mishum Dalei Avdal Yisur, even the father who scheduled and manipulated his work arrangements, but ultimately he didn't do an Yisur. He passed away before he got to it, before Yom Tov. So Israel was never actually executed, so there's no reason to come down hard and pass it on to the kids. Okay, so in the case of the Eved, if we assume that the kid is responsible, that's because there's it's a very severe situation. On the other hand, by the Chol HaMoed, even if we say we don't penalize the kids, that's because it was never isn't done. Back to our story of Bukhar. He clipped the Bukhar and he died. Hachamai, what about in our case? Shall we say that the Knas Rabban is limited to the father? He's not around. Don't worry about it. Or Rabban applied a penalty to the actual moment, to the possession. Item-based. But you say the fact is the item is still here. And even the kids have to abide by that penalty. Amar Lesi responded, I'll bring you a raya. That's limited to the person. Well, can I saw it, Mishnah. Sada, a field, on the seventh year of Shemitah, Shem Skavtza. Skavtza comes from the word kites, thorns. The thorns were removed, were cleaned up. B'shvi is on Shemitah, you're not meant to do it. But it's not really a melacha d'oraisa, it's not on the, it's in the land itself. But in this case, even if he did it, Tizara l'matzoi shviz, you can plant the field after Shemitah, we don't penalize you. But if he fertilized it, Tavi fertilized it, and Daira, he turned it into an animal pen, which fertilized it as well. In this case, he actually made a drastic, significant improvement to the property. He did it on Shemitah. You can't plant it after the Shemitah year as well. We penalize him. What happens if the father passes away and we have the son? V'amar, Rabbi Yaisi, Erchanina, It's only personal to the father. Naktina, we have a Kabbalah tradition from our teachers. Heitivo meis. If the father did this to the field and he passed away, b'nai zera. If the kid's around, he can plant it. Almos, what do we see from here? Then in these situations, the day comes to Rabban, Rabban applied the knas only to the perpetrator himself, but not to the kids. The braid to his son, like on Rabban, there was no penalty applied, and likewise by Bechar, it's limited to the father. Doesn't carry over to the kid. Amar Abaye, here comes another aspect of this halacha. Naktina, we have a Kabbalah. Timei, turn to the next. Amar Tarois, Tarois of Shechaver, there's a girsa. He approached his neighbor's, you know, fruit, which atar, and he made them tummy. So he damaged them, he harmed them, but it's not a visible, physical damage. Umei said, now he passes away. So Minatar is not chayiv, because it's not a visible damage. But Midrabbanon, he is chayiv. It's a knas. Umeis, let's say he passed away before he got a chance to loy consubnoy achav. The kid is not obligated to pay up even from his father's, you know, estate. Why? My time. Hezek she'enikol shmei hezek. Damage which isn't physically visible does not constitute damage min ha'Torah. Just kansur rabbanon. Who? True, the rabbanon penalized a fellow who does this type of misacts, but it's limited to the perpetrator himself. The day kansur rabbanon. They only apply the knas to the perpetrator, but not to the kids. Levrei to his son, loy kansur rabbanon, which is similar to the case of the Shemitah and the case of Bechor. Okay, so in a nutshell, we discussed the reasoning behind the machlekes regarding the guarding or non-guarding the truma taluya. We passing like Reb Shimon regarding the unwell Bechor, can be pricked to heal him, and we could even use that mum as a green light to shecht him. If a person willingly, knowingly, intentionally blemishes his Bechor, transgressing Issa Deraisa by doing so, we penalize him. The question is to what extent. We reconcile that discussion with the penalization by the Tzeras as well, and explain the differences. We discussed when the a knas would carry over to the kids, and when it would not. Okay, Siris Tovis, all the best, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.